The theme of the second Sunday of Advent is peace. What is peace? What is the definition of peace? According to the Cambridge Dictionary, it says freedom from war and violence, especially when people live and work together happily without disagreements. There's another definition about the peace. It says the state of not being interrupted or annoyed by worry, problems, noise, or unwanted actions. Peace is a very common word in English that means different things to different people. It is also a very important word in the Bible that refers not only to the absence of conflict or war, but also to the presence of something else, something better in that place. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And the New Testament, the Greek word for peace is eirene. The Beijing meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word refers to a stone that has perfect whole shape without no crack. It also refers to a complete wall that has no gaps or no missing bricks. Shalom refers to a person's well-being. When David visited his brothers in the field, he asked about their shalom, their well-being. The core idea is like the complex full of moving parts of relationships and situations. When any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Then life is no longer whole. It needs to be restored. In fact, that is the basic meaning of shalom when used as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or to restore. Solomon brings shalom to the unfinished temple when he completes it. Or if your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a completed repayment for the loss. If anything is missing, you restore it to wholeness. The same goes to the human relationship. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. And when rival kingdoms make shalom, it doesn't just mean to stop fighting, and also means working together for each other's benefit. The prophets looked forward to the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, whose reign will bring shalom with no end. At birth of Jesus, the New Testament announced as the arrival of eirene. Remember, that is the Greek word of peace. Jesus came to offer his peace to others. He said to his followers, "My peace I give to you all." The apostle claimed that Jesus made peace between messed up humans and God as he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that he restored to wholeness of the broken relationship between human and creator. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 2:14-15, Jesus himself is our eirene, which is our peace. He was a whole, complete human and the Prince of Peace who came to bring peace on earth. Often we say we are in Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, and Christ is in us. As Christ is in us, do you have peace? Do you experience the peace that Jesus gives? Is this the Sunday of peace for you? In today's text, we can find that Isaiah had dreams of peace, and he wrote down these beautiful dreams, some of the most memorable words in the whole Bible. He had dreams and visions of peace as a result of his concerning about Judah and Jerusalem. It was the year of 700 BC. In the text, Isaiah presents us with a vision that he had for the whole world in general, and a vision that he had for the people of God in particular. It was a vision of great leader and just leader with the Spirit of the Lord upon him coming from the stump of Jesse. Then we are presented with a picture of the world where there is a harmony and peace. Today's words from the prophet Isaiah are some of the beautiful words ever written about humanity's longing for peace. Hear the word of Isaiah from verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This passage of promise begins with a stump, a terminated tree plant that nothing can grow. But interestingly, here we can see the picture of growth that springs from stump. It demands first that the tree be cut down. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Who is Jesse? If you look at the family tree of Jesse or Ruth, and Jesse was the son of Obed, and then grandson of Boaz and Ruth. And going the other way, Jesse was the father of 8 sons, and 2 daughters. And one of those sons are David, King David. So what this verse says is that heritage of King David from David's great line would come forth a leader. Even though we may assume that the kingship from the line of David is over as the history of Israel is written. The last king was Zedekiah, and then the southern kingdom of Judah was all destroyed by the Babylonian. This cutting off is a requirement for what will then develop. A new shoot growing out of the old base which David came from root of Jesse, the father of David. However, this begins not in a royal palace, but with a pagan family. And this passage has become one of the key passages we read as we await the celebration of Jesus' birth. And see verses 2 and 3. The character of ruler will be shaped by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord provides the king with 3 parts of gifts. First, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And second, the Spirit of counsel and might. And then third, Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. These are the qualifications of the ideal ruler. However, elsewhere in the Old Testament, God's Spirit inspires judges, prophets, and kings with insight and abilities beyond their normal capacity. This inspiration is often associated with thrilled experiences and particular tasks. Consider Samson. Look at the Judges, chapter 14 and 6. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson. What happened? When the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, he was able to defeat the Philistines' army for his people. And look at Saul in 1 Samuel 10 and 10, it says the Spirit of God came powerfully upon Saul and he joined in their prophesying. And David, 1 Samuel 16 and 13, also we can find the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. In each case, evidence of God's Spirit is profound, but its work tends to be spontaneous and short-term rather than predictable and long-term. But in this case of the Messiah, the Spirit rests upon him. And as he says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, which is Jesus Christ, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, for release the oppressed. The Messiah is anointed and gifted rather than accomplishments he might achieve. Isaiah continues to say that those who are poor, meek, and less visible in society, precisely those who suffered most under the previous regime, are the main beneficiaries. And verse 5 says, righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness be sashi around his waist. He, the ruler, will be the servant, not because he is too weak to dominate, but because he is strong enough not to need to crush. It is the same with all of predators, according to the picture of the new kingdom. Can you identify the animals you see in this picture? Lion, wolf, lamb, leopard, tiger, wolf or fox, yeah. And do you have any problems with some of those animals that get along with each other in this picture? Yes, obviously. And the lion tend to eat lambs for dinner, and wolves and leopards and all those, you know, animals will be enemies to all other domestic animals, or, you know, others like lamb or the goat and things like that. However, this is a glorious picture of the Messiah's reign, where the young and vulnerable lambs and calves and children will be at ease with the foremost symbols of peril and violence. The vision vibrates with rest and recreation, with joy and trust, with harmony and contentment. See verse 6. The first pairs predators with prey. Wolf with a lamb, and leopard with goat, calf with a lion. And verse 6, that a little child will lead them. It describes all these creatures in a pastoral scene being led like a flock of sheep. Little child, infant, and young child represent human beings at their most vulnerable stages. And not only particular individual, just as no particular lion or calf animals. More significant is the distinction between wild and domestic animals. That domestic animals will be safe from wild creatures reflects a concern for human security and peace. This is genuinely a pastoral concern for the safety of flocks, for the sake of humankind. So in today's passage, we can find the promise of a future king from the line of David, which is about coming of Christ, the Messiah, and also the description of a glorious picture of the peaceful kingdom in the Messiah's reign. What it says is, when the Prince of Peace, Christ, comes, there will be triumph over everything that is evil and oppressive in our world. There will be a reconciliation that would not only include human beings, but even the animal kingdom and all of nature. In Jesus Christ, our broken world, our troubled world catches a glimpse of a time to come when the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord. In the midst of wars and rumors of wars, we need not despair, because God is already at work through the power of suffering love to bring about a new age. And every now and then, you and I are privileged to see God at work. And that is what says at the beginning of verse 10. Isaiah uses the phrase, in that day. The God's advent message for us today is that day has already dawned. The shoot from the stump of Jesse has grown into a mighty tree of life, a sign to all the nations that God's new creation has already begun with the birth of a little child, Jesus Christ, who leads us into life in God's upside down, inside out new kingdom. God has given us the everlasting and eternal life in that little child, the mighty King, our Savior Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Now that is good news. I think the message of hope and peace is God's Christmas greeting to you and to me. It is the message of good news to a world often filled with bad news. More than that, it is a Christmas message that can change our life. So, what are you long for this season of Christmas? Do you long for the one who brings perfect peace, justice and harmony as Isaiah had a dream? In the midst of your rush to be ready for Christmas, are you really ready for the King, the Prince of Peace? Jesus says, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." My prayer is that all of us may have peace that Jesus gives to us, not as the world gives. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, we thank you that you sent a little child to lead us from darkness to light. Make us open to the change this child will bring to our lives. Make us ready to be more loving and more giving. Make us ready to find ourselves by losing ourselves in Him. Most of all, dear God, help us to follow Him on a journey to salvation. Help us through this child to give up the lives we have known for greater lives in Him. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.